Some of us are outwardly successful, but inwardly feel unhappy and living a life lacking in purpose and meaning. The Necktie and the Jaguar by Carl Greer can help you discover what's important to you and how to go for it. For more information or to purchase the book, visit carlgreer.com. That's CarlGreer.com. Welcome to What is Going Om, for new thought from the edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. We all know that life on this planet is undergoing a massive transition. And while some people believe they have some understanding of what that might mean for humanity's future, others are struggling as every system and structure they believed in is suddenly proving to be less dependable than they imagined. According to this week's guest, we are in a time of confluence and flux, where an old energy paradigm and 3D timeline is shifting to make way for new light grids and a new 5D ascension timeline. But what does that mean? How will it change our lives? And what can we do to make this transition more comfortable for ourselves? Steve and Ayel Noble spent 13 years working as a director of Alternatives, the world-renowned platform for leading spiritual teachers and alternative thinking at St. James Church in London, before beginning his own healing and awakening work and creating a healing system called Soul Matrix Healing. The author of 6 non-fiction books, including The Enlightenment of Work, Star Seeds, and his most recent release, The Spiritual Entrepreneur, Steve Nobel's website, thesoulmatrix.com, hosts an extensive library of free resources, including meditations and transmissions to help star seeds, which are played the world over. Steve Nobel joins me now to share his thoughts on ascension, the nature of these volatile times, star seeds, who they are, why they're here, and why many of them are attracted to becoming spiritual entrepreneurs. Steve and Ayel Noble, welcome.
Hi, Sandy. Thanks for inviting me.
Steve, in your book, Star Seeds, Time to Wake Up and Embrace the 5D Love Unity Revolution, you say that it took a while for you to recognize that you are a star seed. So Can you tell us what star seeds are, why so many people are now identifying themselves as such, and how you came to that conclusion about yourself?
Yeah, well, I was a director of Alternatives, so basically Alternatives was a platform in central London based in a church, St. James's Church near Buckingham Palace, and we used to host, they still do actually, host well-known authors and speakers around the world, and I'd been exposed to a lot of ideas and read a lot of books and done a lot of courses and, you know, and a lot of them quite way out. And while I was there, I was probably the most way out director, I think. The others were like, we don't understand exactly what you're talking about, but we trust you. That was the kind of thing that somebody said to me one day. And I'd heard about star seeds and I'd heard about ascension. And to be honest, I wasn't so interested in it because I was quite practical, pragmatic. I was interested in things which actually could make my life different and other people's lives different. And I wasn't sure ascension and star seeds really fell into that category. So I was interested in manifestation. I was interested in healing. I was interested in things like synchronicity and intuition and flow and miracle consciousness, you know, these things which I thought will make a difference in people's lives. And it wasn't until as we approached the 2012, I'd heard again this 2012 point, I'd heard a lot of people talking about it from the Mayan calendar and all kinds of points of view, and I wasn't sure really if there was anything in it or not. But as we approached it, I felt my life begin to shift. I felt this kind of impulse, you could say, from the soul within, which I'd felt before, time to change your life. You know, it's time to, the wind of change is blowing and you've got to change your life. And in the past, I was very good at listening to my intuition and following it. But at this time, I was quite happy with my life. I was happy at alternatives. I was happy in the relationship I had. I was happy in my life. And I didn't want to shift it. I didn't want to go off on another adventure. And so I kind of basically refused, which was the first time really I'd actually refused the adventure. And what happened then was a year or so later, my life imploded. And I resigned from, I went through an existential crisis. I resigned from alternatives as a director. I gave them a year's notice. So I resigned on the winter solstice 2012, very dramatic, you know. And my relationship collapsed and we moved out. I moved out and all my anchors shifted. And it was only afterwards, you know, that I started looking back in hindsight thinking, what happened? It was a few years later that I was looking back and it started to click into place that there was something to this 2012 point. And there is something to this starseed and ascension idea. And I started getting direct kind of guidance internally, like, you've got to go out now and teach this stuff. And I wasn't really very thrilled by that, you know, that impulse. When I was getting this message, you know, I remember waking up one day and a voice, which wasn't my own, says, time to speak about starseeds and ascension. And I didn't really want to know about that. But I thought, well, I'm not going to resist anymore. I went with it. I started running workshops. I thought I was winging it in the beginning because I wasn't sure I really knew what I was talking about. And people were attracted. And I thought, oh, my goodness, there's a big interest in this. And I started really going within, trying to make sense in hindsight of what was going on the earth. And what I've come to now is that we are multidimensional beings. I kind of got that before the whole transition started happening. You know, I was reading a lot of the Seth books, and I love the channel Seth, who talks about, you know, we are multidimensional, the self is multidimensional, and the point of power is in the present moment, and you create your own reality, period. You know, all of this kind of thing. I was very used to that. And so it made sense to me that if we are multidimensional, that we come from many different places. It wasn't such a leap then. I thought, well, you know, the earth plane is not the only plane of existence. There are many other planes of existence. And for a lot of us, I always had this sense of I don't totally belong here. I couldn't really put my finger on it till after the 2012 kind of transition. And I really felt, but I probably don't belong here. It's not my native home, but I'm here because I've chosen to be here. And I started really kind of shifting into this idea of starseeds. Who are they? What's their nature? How do you know if you're a starseed? And what I would say is that we are all multidimensional spiritual beings. We have experienced many dimensions of existence. Our true nature, starseed's true nature is love and is unity consciousness. And starseeds do feel different from a lot of other people here because they are different, because the 3D dimension is not their natural home. A lot of people do feel at home here. You know, when I worked for a while in the corporate world, and a lot of people felt very happy in the corporate world. I never felt happy. I always felt a round peg in a square hole. And I think it's very common for starseeds to feel they don't belong in their family. They don't belong in some corporation. They may not even feel they belong in the world. There's also a great sensitivity. When I was much more sensitive than most, and now I've met a lot of other starseeds, I recognize it's a common trait that we have this common sensitivity, which is a blessing and a bit of a difficult challenge, because sensitivity can also be overwhelming, and it can also mean we take on energy that we shouldn't take on. Starseeds, like all human beings fall asleep when they come here. They come out, they pop out of the birth canal and they go, where am I? Who am I? Who are you? And what am I here to do? And a lot of people struggle with their life mission purpose, but starseeds particularly have a strong feeling, I'm here to do something. I don't know what it is. And it creates a great confusion, a great internal tension until they start getting on track. So that's some of the kind of signs of being a starseed. And, you know, the other thing is that they're very drawn to futuristic sci-fi. I was very drawn to Star Trek and superhero comics and the weird and wonderful. And I think that's the word weird is a key word for starseeds, because they know they're weird. And they try and hide it very often. Not all of them, but a lot of the new kids now don't try and hide it. But certainly when I came in, born in the late 50s, I was not going to, you know, I was not welcomed for being weird. You know, there was only a few people that could be weird, and that was probably musicians. Everybody else had to conform, you know, or artists and musicians. And I didn't really feel I was an artist or a musician. So I felt, well, I better try and be normal, which is the really the worst thing a starseed can do. If you feel that you are a bit weird, I do recommend everyone goes with it now and not try and be normal. It's the worst thing to try and do, actually. I don't know if that's kind of a beginning answer.
It is, but, you know, back in the beginning of, you know, the millennium, everybody was talking about indigos and crystals, and the indigos were the disruptors and the crystals were the ones that were a little bit more empathic and tuned in and, you know, definitely a little bit more energetically sensitive. What's the difference between a starseed and an indigo and a crystal?
Well, the term indigo, crystal, and even rainbow, all these kind of terms are different categories of what you could say are starseeds. You know, people come in indigo more warrior-like, crystal and rainbow much more kind of still and transformative, but in a much more still way. And again, I think, was it Lee Carroll that came out with the first term indigo? And
Well, it was Nancy Ann Tappy, but then he picked up the work and came out with the first books.
Oh, right. OK. Yeah. I think I first came across it maybe. And then Doreen Virtue, I think, leapt on it.
Yes.
And and again, I wasn't sure, is this something that's real? But actually now where I'm standing now, I've seen a lot of kids, which I think are starseed kids, and I see them as very, very different, you know, and you can actually get kids who are a blend of indigo, crystal. I think, you know, they have this kind of warrior disrupting, but they can also have another side to them. There isn't just, you know, one or another. Some of them overlap a bit, and they are different energies coming in to change the world. And the world will be changed through consciousness. And you know, when we look at the world, I can understand when a lot of people look at the world and go, well, nothing's changing. In fact, it's getting worse, you know, and in some ways it does look like it's getting worse. But I think it has to get worse to get better. And that's the nature of bringing a lot of light onto the planet, because a lot of light will stir up all the shadows, and the shadows start coming out going, we don't like what you're doing and we want to block you. So there's a kind of war going on, or a conflict between the light and dark. And which is why I think we're seeing what's happening on the planet now. The dark has kind of been doing what they're trying to do to keep the vibration low. 9/11 to me was a definitely planned operation, in part to keep the vibration of the planet low. And this current crisis we're going in, I personally see, is no different. It's another black op, I think, which of a bigger kind. You know, it's keeping the whole world in fear. And it's amazing to see this split going on in people between fear and those who are in love, you know. But anyway,
well, so we do know, don't we, that, you know, if you want to control people, the easiest way to do it is put them into fear. Absolutely. I agree with you there. It's interesting because, you know, I'm a little bit older than you. I was very much engaged, you know, with the indigo and crystal children at that time in the early 2000s. And it was fascinating for me to watch these children, you know, coming onto the planet with these different qualities about them. But all of them, regardless of the categories, were, you know, it was a disruptor, because it's disrupting health, it's disrupting what we know about education, it's disrupted absolutely everything. And I think that I'm just trying to think of her name. It's completely PMH Atwater's books, you know, we're talking about the sixth root race, and the, you know, this they were here to break it all apart and to you know, shine that light. So once you realize that you were a starseed, you know, you seem to have quite a big audience. Was it as if suddenly, by announcing it, admitting it, and, you know, giving information out about it, that suddenly many of these starseeds had a place to go and, you know, kind of converged on you?
Well, at the beginning of me taking on this mission, when I got, like, waking up and Spirit said, you know, I got the clear voice, do it. And I just, my mind thought, well, I'll do it. But I don't think it's a very good idea, because, you know, in terms of creating a business. I'm not sure this is a very good, you know, idea or direction at all, because, you know, I'm not sure how many people out there are going to be really that interested. And I was really surprised, actually. I mean, every business takes time to take off. And after a couple of years, I started to attract a lot of attention on YouTube. And since then, it's kind of gone viral a bit, because now I think on YouTube, I've got 136,000 followers, and it seems to go up very quickly all the time. And there's, I think what I offer to people is, on the one hand, the idea that there is this shift, and, you know, there are other people, of course, talking, a lot of people talking about it, the shift, and that there is a difference in them. And once they recognize the difference and embrace it rather than fight it, things get easier. But the other thing I'm offering is, and one thing I feel is my mission, is to offer a huge toolkit for starseeds to go on there. And a lot of people go on there, go, well, I'm not sure, am I a starseed? But I think it doesn't really matter. You know, if you don't resonate with the right label, don't worry. Go and check all of the messages and all of the tools out and see if anything resonates. And people go on there, and, you know, I get some incredible messages. So I've created a whole lot of things, from psychic defense, psychic protection, raising your vibration, clearing your chakras, dealing with the emotional body, dealing with the mental body, opening more light in your body, connecting with the grid of the earth, the one that Kryon talks about, the crystalline grid of the earth, connecting with the Christ grid, calling in new beings, new angels, calling in star guides and star angels as well. And basically I say to people, well, try it. If it resonates, you know, that's something for you, because I've offered about 300 different tracks on there. So I'm not saying, look, I know who you are. And even if somebody asks me, well, where am I from? I kind of not really that bothered, really, because I think it doesn't matter. You're not from here. You've got connections with a lot of different places. Go and listen to all the stuff, and you'll know, you'll resonate with whatever you're resonating with. You know, there's a lot of different races interested in the planet now, star races. Positive ones. I mean, yes, there are negative ones around as well. And also I try and help people to understand there are these negative forces as well, and how you can neutralize them. And there are, you know, there is such a thing as the lower astral plane, and how you can not go there, because, you know, it's not, it's a bit like the lower astral plane to me is a bit like Avatar, you know, when the guy is trapped in the forest at night and he's kind of lost, he's kind of waving the stick around, all these weird animals are coming out. And that is the lower astral to me. It's not that everything down there is horrible, but there's a lot of stuff that you don't really want to go and connect to. And there are a lot of things that open starseeds up to things that they should not really be going into. And so I try and really inform people. And I'm not saying you have to trust and believe everything I say. I just say, well, try it. See if it makes your life better. And a lot of people, you know, have been following me for years. They go, oh, that's amazing. That helps. Is it helpful? If it's not helpful, then stop doing it. You know, really. That's my idea. So, yeah.
On your website, there's a quote, and I don't know whether it's yours or someone else's, that says, starseeds, parallels and blueprinters hold the weight of the world on their shoulders, and they feel more deeply than most and have a deeper understanding than most. What are parallels and blueprinters?
So that is a good friend of mine, Renee. I was just trying to remember her surname, actually. Furbush, I think it is, Renee Furbush. So she's somebody I interviewed. So there's a podcast on there, I thought, called, it may be called Starseeds, Parallel and Blueprinters. To be honest, I can't remember what parallels and blueprinters are. It's something she's come up with, and a lot of people seem to like it and resonate with it. I'm not sure. It's not something that I've dived into, but I'd also do interview people, and I, you know, think it's great to share their ideas. So I have a strong idea about starseeds, but I'm not quite sure what she says now about these other categories. So so if anybody's interested in that, they could
The word that caught me was blue, because a lot of people are suddenly talking about blue beings, and you know, I've actually seen a blue being you know, several years ago, before I you know, before the blue men group, so before blue as a, you know, species, or, you know, humans could be blue, or people could be blue, was even in the consciousness. But I know a lot of people are talking about blue beings, so I just wondered if there was any significance there.
Well, on the site, I've got a transmission for Blu-ray starseeds. Blu-ray are, and this is something that I resonate with, Blu-ray are those beings who are really alchemists. They go into very toxic environments usually, and they feel quite affected until they learn to alchemize their environment, and they start to, when they wake up, they start to be really powerful at clearing out toxic energies. So there is a transmission Blu-ray, and that's very connected to Sirius, the star system Sirius. But Blu-ray beings, I mean, there are probably different Blu-ray beings. One lot, I think, do come, the Pleiadian, do have a sort of connection to Blu-ray, but there are others, of course. So there are Blu-ray star, there are a lot of star beings look nothing like us. A lot of them are humanoid, but some of them are not. So, yeah, we do live in a vast universe, a bit like Star Trek, you know, if you can imagine all these different races. If we met them, some of them might be a bit frightening, perhaps, I think.
I'm sure. I know people who are very multidimensional and have seen all kinds of beings and described some of them. I wouldn't want to meet them on a dark night or even on a bright night.
No, I mean, I did connect with one being, and it was almost like I was in a dark cave, and I said, well, why can't I see you? And the answer was, if you saw me, I would terrify you. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, then we'll stay in the dark then. But
stay
the
there,
being seemed
please.
Light in consciousness, but the form was not pleasant, I think. Mm. Yeah.
So tell me about earth seeds. You talk about them as, you know, I mean, if we're all from somewhere else, and I suspect that we all are, what makes an earth seed?
Yeah, well, the human race, of course, has had interventions from various stellar races. And for a number of years, Earth has been, it's not been a particularly light planet. So it seems like there's been an intervention here from darker races, and that the Earth has been kind of caught in a kind of time warp, a little bubble or a quarantine kind of place, really. And a lot of souls that have been here, which have starseed genetics, have been trapped here in a reincarnational cycle. And so there are a lot of beings here who've been through the last 30,000, 50,000 years on the planet. And if you look at the history books of Earth and you read of all the wars and conquests and empires and slavery, and if people have been through that, and the beings on the Earth have been unplugged to a certain extent, you know, their chakra system and DNA have been unplugged. And so a lot of their inner resourcefulness and inner light has been unplugged. And so the Earth seeds are here in a kind of glass bowl, fish bowl, you know. And so if you say to someone who's been on the Earth a long time in this reincarnational cycle, hey, you know, we're ascending. Hey, there's angels. Hey, masters of light are coming. Hey, the world is shifting. You know, we're going through a shift. They will look at you as a completely mental, mad person. And, you know, in my family, my parents would look at me like that. And my children also are a bit like that. My grandchildren, I think, have a different consciousness. But so you can quite tell. There are starseeds who are skeptical. And, you know, I've met people who've sat opposite me and go, so you're the guy who talks about starseeds with their arms crossed. And they look at me, but I could look at their energy and feel their energy. And I know, yes, they're skeptical, which is fine, but they are a different energy. Or I can meet someone who's an earthseed quite quickly and go, well, there's absolutely no point me opening my mouth about anything with this person because they would reject it. So I used to live in a community of a spiritual community, actually, of kind of renegade Buddhists. And one day, one of the guys there said to me, so, you know, you're interested in all this kind of out there stuff. What's it all about? And so I knew that the guy was going to reject it. But I lent him a book. It was actually a Barbara Marciniak book, Family of Light or something. Yeah. He took it. He read it. 3 weeks later, he came back and he said, that book's completely mental. And I said, well, yes, it is mental, but that's the way I think the world is, or a good dose of it anyway. And he went away shaking his head. So I've learned to actually not even go there with people. You know, if somebody says, so are you, what do you do? I just say, oh, I'm a coach, I'm an author. I don't go there with a lot of people because there's absolutely 0 point, I feel. I'm not here for that. I'm here for the kind of starseeds who've got open mind, and they're the ones who are going to find me. So, you know, my brother actually messaged me today because I had a book launch. I know we're going to talk about it shortly. And he said, are you doing stuff in the town where you're living in? And I said, absolutely not. I'm not doing it. I'm mostly doing it online. I'm not going around here. I don't want people. And actually, people do still stop me in the street. I've had a few people in the street going, oh, you're that guy on YouTube. And, you know, it's very nice in one way, but it's also very embarrassing. And I'd rather not do it. So I'm more of a hidden thing where I live. You know, I don't want to kind of come out too much where I live. All my neighbors are pretty conservative in this muse I live in. And they probably all think we're completely bonkers, so we try and keep it a bit hidden from them. We just say, oh yeah, we do a bit of coaching and a bit of, you know, writing and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I didn't answer. So that's Earth seeds. They are. They do have starseed DNA, but you know, they're stuck in the reincarnational cycle. They will wake up eventually, but they may not wake up in this lifetime. A lot of them will go on to another school, another dimension, another place where they can actually start shifting out, because the Earth is shifting, and the Earth. You know, it's a slow shift, the Earth, really, because a person can wake up in a few years or a month, really. But the Earth is going through a longer shift. It does not wake up in a year. It's not going to wake up in 10 years. It's going to take, you know, the whole thing from start to finish could be 100 years. But we started back in the 60s, the late 50s. So, you know, we're doing all right, really. We are on track.
Well, we're going to take a brief break in a moment, and when we come back, we'll talk about a little bit about the missions of the different types of star seeds. But I also want to look, you know, up to find out why so many of them are, you know, wanting to become spiritual entrepreneurs. So we'll be back in a few moments with that. You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and today I am speaking with coach, author, book mentor and creator of Soul Matrix Healing, Steve Anil Nobel. And we're talking about star seeds, ascension, spiritual entrepreneurship, the massive awakening and shifting consciousness that's taking place, and living in 5D and more. We'll be back with more from Steve after this break.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Time's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? As a long-time editor, book judge, spiritual magazine publisher and radio host, I've read thousands of books and interviewed hundreds of authors and teachers, so I know what's worth reading and what isn't. Now, with the spiritual book market growing increasingly crowded, more and more people are seeking my help in finding the authentic voices, the empowering tools, and the genuine skip the BS guidance that will make the most difference to their spiritual development. So I decided to make it easier by bringing my knowledge, experience, and considerable network of contacts together in the No BS Spiritual Book Club. There are no ads, no joining fees, no obligations, and no BS. Just an ever-growing library compiled by recognisable and respected names of the 10 best books that help them the most on their journeys. Plus, free book excerpts, audios, and live video interviews where you can quiz them about their spiritual journeys and their 10 best list choices. Your time and money are valuable, your spiritual journey even more so. If you're looking for genuine guidance from people who've walked this path before you, check out sedgbeer.com. Click on the No BS Spiritual Book Club tab and join the club. That's sedgbeer.com, sedgbeer.com. I'll see you there.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back. Before we resume this week's conversation, here's a suggestion for those of you who struggle with making important decisions.
There's an inspiring book I'd invite you to check out. It's called The Necktie and the Jaguar by retired clinical psychologist, Jungian analyst and shamanic practitioner Carl Greer. In addition to revealing how he tapped into the wisdom and power of unseen worlds for guidance and inspiration, Carl Greer's fascinating memoir offers some valuable keys and questions that inspire the kind of thinking that guides you effortlessly on your own path to transformation. Check it out for yourself at carlgreer.com. And now back to Steve Nobel. Steve, you talk about star seeds, the roughly six types of mission: light workers and healers, earth workers and body workers, system busters, technical innovators. And then there are dark arts practitioners, which you say is a rather specialised group. Tell me a little bit about that group.
Oh, the dark arts one. Well, I kind of came up with the title because of the Harry Potter, you know, the dark arts training, you know, with Snape and all of that. But really, this is one of the groups I feel I've slipped into as well. And well, I should mention what does it mean, dark? And the dark on this planet, I would say, are the controlling forces that have been here for a long time. And those dark forces have been quite used to playing around with, you could say, black magic, satanic kind of rituals and things like that. And there's a lot of whistleblowers coming out with this kind of stuff now. And I've even had clients who have been through the process, and I've asked them about it, and I've been quite shocked at that whole thing. So the dark arts practitioners is a group of starseeds whose main purpose is really to start to neutralize the worst effects of what these people are, what the dark are up to. And so, so for example, when I do the soul matrix healing, a whole part of it is neutralizing lower attack, lower astral interference, lower galactic energies, also interference from ancestral lines, because the bloodlines, you know, if you go back the last 20,000 years, have themselves been interfered with. And if you think of, for example, well, for my own bloodline, they've been through a lot of war in Britain. You know, Britain's been a military empire and all of that. So there's been a lot of heavy, dark stuff in my own bloodlines of war. Both my grandfathers were in World War One. They both fought in the Somme. And there's been, you know, it's a whole history of people going off to war, fighting for, you know, king, or fighting for some aristocrat or whatever it was, or even back to feudal times. So there's a lot of that old dark stuff has to be cleared out, including agreements is a big problem, actually. Where there's been agreements in the bloodline, or where we've made agreements in other lifetimes that's connected to, you could say, the dark, we have to neutralize all of that. So, for example, an agreement could be to serve the dark or to fight against the dark. They're kind of typical agreements. I also look at religion as a dark energy these days. You know, religion started off seeded by a spiritual being, and all of them got hacked into. I think almost every religion, I worked in a church in London, and a very liberal one, for many, many years, and I don't have a very positive view of churches, to be honest. I don't think the energies in those places are very light. You know, for years, actually, I never really questioned drinking the blood of Christ and eating the body of Christ. You know, that's one of the things I never kind of questioned. But it's only after I woke up, thought, you know, that's a rather dark ritual, isn't it, really? Getting people to drink the blood of an avatar and eat the body. And I think that ritual, for example, is a twisted ritual that's been kind of put in there to kind of twist something, you know. And I think the dark side are very, they like taking something very light and twisting it. So that's why, you know, in every religion now, there's twists to it. And, you know, for example, for me, paedophilia is not a sign of light. It's a sign of something very dark going on. And so, you know, in particularly in the Catholic Church, there's a very big problem with that, that they have also hidden. So, you know, these things, to give you another example, I had a young woman from Germany, and she was in tears. Her family are kind of very Christian, and she was very, very badly affected by the conditioning. And so part of my job was to help unravel that conditioning and neutralize it and make her laugh at it and see how silly it is so that she can move forward. So when it comes to energy and consciousness and programming and stories and beliefs, there's a lot of dark stuff that we have to undo. I think I sometimes feel I'm undoing knots for people and just releasing them, going, once we've undone the knots and undone the programming, they can be freer to live who they truly are. So a lot of this work is just undoing stuff that's not real for them, you know. So the dark is a very, very dark hole, the dark arts, actually. And one of my trainings into it was I've been psychically attacked for years, on and off. You know, it started around the late 90s. And then after the millennium, I had a dose of it. After 2012, I had a major, it was major. And I think now I have to do real strong protection morning and night and throughout the day of clearing stuff, because I'm dealing with a lot of heavy stuff with people. And so fortunately, my partner's well on board, and she's actually, I ask her sometimes, can you check me, make sure I'm okay, and I'll check her. So it's very good that we've got each other to check. And I also have three or four friends who I go to check me, because the most important thing for anyone these days is to stay clear of interference. And I do see a lot of spiritual teachers and channels. A lot of them are brilliant, but some of them are interfered with, you know, and I see it. And they're not aware of it. And I can't go up and say to them, by the way, you're interfered with. I'll get a punch in the nose. But, you know, if I get a client, I'll help them unravel it. And I do get a lot of clients who come from spiritual teachers who themselves have got dark stuff around them, and they don't know it. They're in supposedly in the light, but they're actually not. They're false light. And that's a shame, because they don't really realize that they themselves are being used by lower energies. And it happens. But that, I don't want to make people scared, because most teachers and channels in the new age are wonderful, brilliant, and clear, but some are not. And there are signs, and one of the signs is ego. There's an ego issue around power and money. The other sign is there's usually fighting that goes on in organizations. Stuff happens. People start suing each other. There's weird stuff that starts happening, and that's another sign that something is wrong in the organization. And I've seen, I'm not going to mention names, but I've seen it happen, you know, and I think it all goes back to the original teacher or the original channel. They are not clear, and the problem cascades down the organization, So that's a kind of brief dark arts, really.
Well, you mentioned money there, which is probably a good segue into entrepreneurship, spiritual entrepreneurship, because the one thing that I have noticed with many in the spiritual arena, therapists, light workers, is that there seems to be a fear around money and charging for a spiritual service. You know, it's not seen in the same way as any other kind of, business, entrepreneurship, service that one might offer. So I'm curious to know about your book, you know, The Spiritual Entrepreneur, and why so many of the star seeds are attracted to this.
Yeah, well, the money issue. I mean, money is one of the things which you could say is a great resistance pattern for a lot of people. So if someone has a resistance in moving forward, often it can show up as money. Well, I'd love to follow my heart if I had enough money in the bank, you know, or I'd love to follow my heart, you know, but I've got the bills to pay and I've got my family to feed. And so money comes in there as a main obstacle. And money becomes very heavy in people's consciousness, because money's real. You know, money is real. Will I be okay? And I remember when I left the corporate world, I went to Hampstead Heath. You probably know, in London, I don't know if you know London very well. Yeah. So I went to Hampstead Heath and I thought, well, if I'm homeless, I want to find a nice tree to be able to sleep under. And I found one, but I was never homeless, but I had to face the fear of it, because I was really not sure that I would be all right. You know, will the universe hold me? You know, we don't know. I did jump off the cliff and go, well, I believe the universe will hold me, but I was 100% sure. So money is energy. And we get that in theory. Most starseeds or spiritual people get that in theory. The money is just energy. It wants to flow. But when it comes to actually shifting, you know, following our heart and giving up the 3D job, you know, the very kind of stuck job, then suddenly money becomes very real. And so in my family, money was a constant worry, a constant anxiety. I grew up in a working class family where money was not freely available, you know, and even in families where there's a lot of money, there's a lot of fear around money. Of course, if you're wealthy and lose money, then the fear is you're going to fall down the pyramid, fall down the ladder, and, you know, snakes and ladders type of thing. So whether you've got money or whether you haven't got money, there's often a lot of fear and anxiety about money. And money as a system is very controlled. It's part of the dark forces on the planet. Dark forces have got their fingers in every financial system practically. And that doesn't mean that you can't be abundant. You know, this is the thing, that even though those forces are controlling, and the light is on the ascendance now and the dark are retreating, but they are still controlling a lot of these money platforms. But the good news is now, even in the last 10 years, 20 years, money has expanded. There's lots of new platforms now. There's PayPal or Venmo in America. There's cryptos. You know, there's a load of different. When I was out there, I used to write checks. You know, now it's all very, very different. You know, money's literally blips in a computer system. So we can be abundant. The problem is fear around money and other resistance patterns creates a kind of, one of the ways it shows up is visibility. You know, well, I can't be too visible. I can't be seen, heard, acknowledged for who I truly am and what I want to share with the world. You know, maybe I have to do this horrible job, or maybe, you know, if I do a job I hate, I don't mind getting paid a lot of money. But if I'm doing a job that feels like play, I don't think I should be paid anything. You know, there's all these weird dynamics that goes on in our minds. Yeah. And when I gave up the corporate world, I started I volunteered in a spiritual organization, Alternatives, for a while. And before I kind of gave up the job, the corporate job, I remember helping them out in the bookstore, and I was very passionate about selling books, and I sold loads of books because I was so good at it. I loved these books. And the guy in charge of the bookstore gave me £10. He said, I want to give you this because you've done such a brilliant job tonight. And I almost refused it, saying, no, because I'm playing. You can't give me money for playing. And that's the shift for a lot of people, is especially if you're going down the entrepreneur route, we stop being a serious worker, the old Puritan work ethic. You have to be hardworking. You know, you have to look busy all the time. You know, if you worked in an office and the boss comes along, look busy, even if you've got no work to do. As an entrepreneur, or if you're working for yourself or a freelancer, it shifts. It's not about seemingly working hard all the time. It's about working smart. It's about opening up a lot of channels for abundance. So I've shifted my abundance in the last 3 years dramatically, and I didn't expect it to completely shift like that. I've done a lot of stuff on my YouTube channel about 5D abundance transmissions, which I've done a lot myself. But as an entrepreneur, I've opened up a lot of different channels for money to come to me. As an employee, people can just get the 9-to-5 salary or maybe a pension at the end of the, you know, 50 years work or something. But now as an entrepreneur, I've probably got about a dozen different ways money comes to me. And sometimes money flows through one channel, sometimes through another. And to me, I just don't worry. I just open up and know it will come. And the other thing about money, as with anything, what goes around comes around. The more generous we are with anything, the more it seems to come back to us. So I'm finding now that I'm very generous with money, and it just keeps flowing back to me all of the time in ways which are kind of strange and miraculous. You know, an example would be I didn't really think I had many pensions. I really didn't really think I had a pension. But when I looked around, there was something hidden, which I'd kind of forgotten about. And I contacted the consultant or the person there. And they said, oh, yeah, you got 70 odd grand in there. And I was, oh, wow, 70 grand. I never thought I had anything in there. So there's 70 grand I didn't realize I had in there. You know, so there's all these little pockets of money that come find me. And the more money that flows to me, the more I can be generous. So I've created a social media platform for Starseeds, which is free. It's like a Facebook on my website, which is free. Because I think if money comes to me, it's not about me buying a bigger car or buying a house with a swimming pool. It's about, well, what can I do that's really useful with it? You know, it's not that I don't want to have a good life. I don't want to be, I'm not going to have the monk programming. I'm sure I've had a lot of monastic lifetimes, as many people listening to this would have had. But we've got to destroy those old poverty vows. We're not here to embrace spirit by being absolutely poor. That's an old program. And there may have been a time where it was useful to avoid material things in order to focus on the light. But now the focus is not about ignoring materiality. It's about being in the material world and being a light being connected to source, not allowing material things to take us off course. And I remember when I was at Alternatives, there was these two Buddhist teachers, and they were great, wonderful authors and great teachers. And then suddenly I heard they got a contract from some corporation who gave them $100,000, and it sent one of them completely mental. He couldn't handle it. He didn't know what to do with the money. He went out and bought a Mercedes for $50,000, and he started being a bit potty, really. And what happened for him was he was okay as far as money was away from him. But the moment money as energy came into his life, it kind of threw him off. Well, I can't be spiritual now because I've got all this money. And I think hopefully he's back on track now. But the thing for starseeds, anybody interested in spiritual life, is it's not about going and finding a cave or a monastery or a mountain or a forest and leaving the world behind. It's about being in the world, but still embracing your spiritual life, still going within and finding the light within. And money, abundance is one of the key lessons now for a lot of starseeds to embrace abundance in all of its forms. You know, whether it's an abundance of joy, abundance of possibility, abundance of money. Money is just fuel for the journey. It's like having a spaceship that's going from Earth to Venus, and you don't want it to run out of fuel halfway. It's just part of the game, really. It keeps you in the game of life.
You've said that this book, writing it felt like piecing together parts of a jigsaw, and it wasn't written in a linear, conventional way. I know that you've got like four sections to the book. You've just spoken about, one of them, the resistance. But you've got a section about the sacred union of the divine feminine and the wild masculine. So tell me a little bit about that and how that relates to abundance and money.
Yeah. So, there's four sections in the book, and there's lots of little mini chapters in there. And the first one is really the beginning of the journey. The second one is going beyond resistance. The third one is, I call it open channel. And what I found in a lot of entrepreneurs and just being sort of stuck with money is or success, however they define it, is that they're not really embracing both poles of their energy. And what I mean by that is the feminine, the deep feminine, and the wild masculine. And what can happen, particularly in the spiritual world, is a lot of us go through left brain, logical, analytical schooling, education, or we might go through some left brain corporation, and we basically reject it. We've had enough of it. I don't want that yang masculine mindset anymore. And we embrace the yin. We embrace the imagination. We embrace creativity. We embrace maybe a bit more of our weirdness, our artistic self or whatever. Now, that's fine and that's brilliant, but by negating the masculine, we actually are not really able to fully open to our own inner genius, you could say, our full resources. Because an example would be, let me give you an example of an artist. I meet a lot of artists or even authors. And an artist would say, look, I've got all these amazing paintings and I've got this gallery, but I'm not selling anything. And that's very typical of a very someone who's very embracing the right brain, the creativity, and is just totally going, I don't want to go in any of that left brain stuff. But the thing is, when we embrace the left brain, we don't have to go back to the corporate world and become some kind of bullet point king or queen, doing PowerPoint presentations. It's about, for example, planning. It's about strategic thinking. It's about it's about using social media in a sensible way or a way that works, And if we're just embracing our right brain, I just want to flow, I just want to feel, then we're not going to do any of that. So for a lot of people who've embraced their right brain, their yin, which is fantastic, we need to do that because the yin has been and the feminine has been so pushed away for thousands of years. So we need to embrace it, but not to the detriment of pushing away the positive elements of our masculine mind. So when we do this, when we start embracing both, we start connecting our logic with our intuitive mind. So the logical mind and intuitive mind start working together. And for me, the ideal way is we have an intuition and we say to logical mind, make it work. A bit like Star Trek, number two, make it so, And so I do, for me, I like the fact that in my energy field, the feminine is stronger. It's a bit stronger. So my imagination is quite strong. My vision is strong. My intuition is strong. But I've also called my masculine side into, I have the vision, I have the idea, I have the intuition, and then I sit and I call my masculine side, how do I make this work? And the masculine side will make it work. It makes me go out. It knows how to market. It knows how to put things out. It knows how to sequence things, how to, you know, make a little strategy around things. And by and large, it's worked very, very well. The two work like an infinity sign. One flows to the other. One is not meant to dominate the other, which happens in our world. You see, either the masculine is trying to dominate the feminine or the feminine is trying to dominate the masculine. The idea is they both work together. It's a sacred marriage, the internal marriage. When the sacred marriage happens, you know, in the tarot deck, part of the journey is the sacred marriage, the lover's card. That sacred marriage is the internal sacred marriage. And when that happens, our life starts to get on track. And so that whole third section is around our life getting on track. You know, we start doing a win-win game, which is where the feminine and masculine really start working together. It's a win-win. Nobody loses. You know, I don't think by me being successful out there, anyone is losing. By me inspiring people, no one is losing. By me being abundant, no one's losing because I'm using a lot of it to help others. You know, so it's like it's a virtuous cycle. And so that's the way I see. I don't know. Does that answer, Sandy?
It does. And it answers, you know, I mean, you're talking about the masculine and feminine in a different way than people usually associate it with. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the parts of us, but they're also the... you know, the facets of us, as you say, the creativity and the imagination is much more of the feminine energy. And the practical, right now I know how to structure this, is much more of what we call the masculine energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you go in the corporate world, and I don't know if you've been in the corporate world, I have, and there's very little feminine energy there. It's all, even the women there tend to learn to be masculine. It's all bullet pointy. It's all boxy. It's all, you know, reporting. It's all boxy, and it's all very dull and boring, which is why the corporate world have to buy in a lot of creative people, because, you know, they just got no creativity. The companies now in the world which are doing better are the ones which have learned to embrace creativity. So Google, whatever you think of Google, are more creative, you know, and the Pixar, they've brought in a lot of creativity, and that means that people are attracted to that. That, you know, if you've got a very boring corporate website, you know, no one's really attracted to that. But on the other hand, if you've got a very yin, and I see the energy of the masculine, if it's a very masculine mind, I see it's like an upside down triangle with the base at the bottom and the point at the top. And if you're a feminine energy, the base is at the top, which is it towards spirit, and the point is towards the bottom, which is towards matter, towards the earth. And really those two energies come together, which creates the six-pointed star. When that six-pointed star works, there's a genius, a synergy, you know, that really explodes. And I see this synergy, there's a lack of that synergy in the world. There's a lack of people that really are synergizing these energy inside of them and really doing a win-win game. Even in the spiritual world, I see a lot of people doing win-lose game, which is basically, you pay me $10,000 to do my one-year mentoring course, and then you will get something out of it. But basically, the winner is the person getting the $10,000 more than the people getting it. So I don't see that as a win-win game. I see, you know, and what I'm trying to do is, my deal with the universe was, look, if I give away all of this stuff, I just want to pay my rent. And by and large, the universe has kept the deal, and I've done pretty well. You know, I'm pretty abundant. I'm doing it, giving away most of it, and being okay, you know, and able to be generous with people near me.
Hmm? And feeling like you are, you know, fulfilling your mission.
Fulfilling my mission and leaving a legacy, you know, even when I'm gone from the planet, hopefully the library will still be there for people to use ongoingly, you know. I'm hoping that will be the case. There's about 330 tracks in there at the moment. If I can create a library, I mean, there'll come a point where people don't need the library because the world has transitioned, but we're still, you know, a few decades away from that. And people, especially starseeds, need help because they're feeling overwhelmed by a number of issues, you know, and so I'm rather than feeling that work is, you know, going down, I'm feeling, especially with the COVID nonsense, my work has escalated. You know, I'm having to refer people on, actually, to people I trust, actually. Mm.
So we've only got about a minute left now, Steve.
Right.
What's next for you? You've just launched the latest book, The Spiritual Entrepreneur, Discover Your Natural Authentic Flow, Align with Your True Path of Abundance and Service. What's motivating you next?
Yeah, I'm not sure really, because I think after any creative endeavor like this, I need a few months rest. After every book, I think, I need a rest, go and have a hot chocolate somewhere, sit and relax. And I'm looking towards training people in doing what I do. And that's a slow process. I'm not rushing that because I want to make sure if I do it, it's going to be really thorough and proper. So that may happen next year. But again, I've got to put together a whole manual of stuff with my partner. And at the moment, I'm just going to get through Christmas, New Year, and try and have fun, basically. So have fun, I think, is my next project.
I think that's it's a very important thing to have on our schedule. Make time for fun.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. Steve Nobel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. Blessings to you.
You too. Steve Nobel's books are available from Amazon and from his website, thesoulmatrix.com, where you can find a host of extensive free resources, including meditations and transmissions to help starseeds. And also find a free downloadable ebook copy of Starseeds, Time to Wake Up and Embrace the 5D Love Unity Revolution. And of course, don't forget Steve's latest book, The Spiritual Entrepreneur, has also just been launched. That's it for this week. For more information about the No BS Spiritual Book Club and our live streaming interviews with contributors, visit sedgebeer.com. And I'll be back at the same time next week with another edition of What Is Going On. Till then, it's goodbye from me.